Bibles, I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Amen. Believe in God to touch and minister to us this morning as we come together to worship Him. Amen. We'll begin reading with the 25th verse. Amen. 25th verse, 6th chapter of Matthew. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? For which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is not, or cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, and the glory of Almighty God. Father, we believe you to minister to us with your grace. Give us power this morning, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake somebody by the hand, look them right in the eye, and say, hey, how do you deal with worry? How to deal with worry? Let me ask you something, question, church. What does the Bible say you're supposed to do about worry? Don't. Amen. Very simple. It's not a real spiritual thing. You just don't worry. You know, at least one sage has observed worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it ain't going to take you anywhere. Hello? Then we asked ourselves the question, well, why do I worry? Why do I have all these problems, you know? But the world is laden with situations, circumstances, which lead many of us to the anxiety, anguish, and anticipation of the awful thing called worry. In certain sense, the Christian, the born-again believer in a benevolent Lord, is under more pressure than a lost person because of the spiritual stance that we take for what we're supposed to believe in. Hello? A pig doesn't have any pressure at all while he's in mud. He just finds a place, lays down, and enjoys himself. But a lamb in that same situation is not going to be comfortable because that is against his nature. Hello? And so we as Christians need to understand some of the things we get involved in this world. It's against our nature. We're not comfortable with it, and it bothers us. Amen. You know what one man said? To worry about things, what we can't help, is useless. To worry about what we can help is stupid. Some of y'all say, well, why is it stupid? Because you just go ahead and do it. You know, we got too many people, and this bothers me in the church world. We got folks that say, well, anything worth doing it right. That's why we ain't never doing nothing. We keep waiting to get it right, and when we can't get it right, we won't do it. I like the better saying, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. If it's worth doing, get after it. You'll figure out how to do it while you're doing it, but just go for it. Amen. I know some of you say, now, preacher, that's a bad saying. Billy Graham's once said it, and I like the way he lives. Glory. I think if it's worth doing, do it. I mean, let's face it, church, when I started preaching, I didn't have a clue. I still ain't great at it, but at least I'm a little better off than I was 7,000 sermons ago. Glory. None of y'all wanted to be there for the first one. It was ugly. The first one wasn't even in church. It was in the field, and all I had was cows, and some of them walked off. Glory. Glory. But the reality is, if I waited till I knew what I was doing, I might never have gotten a pulpit, because I'm still not sure I know what I'm doing. Hello? We got folks talking about, oh, if I could just figure out how to do this, why don't you just start doing it, maybe it'll work. Amen. You know, I remember when I first got saved, I would tell people, well, if I ever learned how to witness, when I finally just started talking to people, I started finding out I could win folks, even though I wasn't the most intelligent person in the world. Amen. And church, some of us need to quit worrying about what's going on around us and just get busy. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen. Worry is an old man who is with a bended head, carrying a load of feathers that he thinks is lead. Think about that. Isn't that what some of us do? You ever notice that 90% of what you worry about never happens, and the 10% that did, you didn't help yourself worrying over it when it started? Glory. You know, you have something done to you and you worry. I remember when they operated on my knee back 21 years ago, they put staples in it. It's the first ones I ever had. I worried about them staples coming out so bad about made myself sick. I got to the doctor and I'm looking there and I said, dude, can you deaden my leg or something for you to do? He said, no, it's okay. And I'm sitting there and this nurse talking to him about something and I turned around and said, dude, could you do something before you start? He said, I'm almost finished. Because I worried about something I really didn't need to be worried about. This time when they started doing it, I actually told the guy if he wanted me to, I'd help him. Glory. Amen. There's a Chinese proverb. The legs of a stork are long. The legs of a duck are short. You cannot shorten the legs of a stork. You cannot lengthen the legs of a duck. Amen. Answer, why worry about it? Glory. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. Listen, Philippians tells us this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That word be careful actually could, a connotation would be don't worry. In other words, Paul said, don't worry about it. Just make your request known unto God. Talk to him about those things. You know, I started that verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, church, we're talking about a guy that's laying in a hole in the ground writing this. He's not having a great day. It's not a sunny day. He's not playing golf. He's not having fishing. He's not hunting. He's not doing anything you women like to do. He is just in a hole in the ground writing letters to churches trying to encourage them. And in that hole, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I'm not going to worry. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. But how can we keep from falling apart with everything that's going on in this world? Amen. Most people, Christian and non-Christian, worry. How can I wrestle with it and win? How can I cope? God gives us guidelines in the verses of scriptures I read to you on how to handle worry. Number one, you've got to acknowledge the source of your worry. He said, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, not yet for your body what ye shall put on, nor for life or more than a meal, or it's not life more than meat and the body more than raiment. For behold, the fowl of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather in a barn. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Now, when you read these verses of scripture, the first thing he said, Jesus is not saying, take a devil may care attitude and just say, well, what happens, happens. Glory. We got people believe that. They just worry, oh, well, I just can't do nothing about it. Whatever happens, happens. Why don't you pray about it? That might have influence on it. Come on, church. What he's saying is this. Don't sit around trying to figure out how to make it work. The word take no thought in the original language means not to have a divided mind, a mind torn between two main objects. Amen. You know what he's saying? He said, don't sit around trying to figure out how you can do it when God has already said, I'll take care of it. Glory. Hello. We base our response on what we know. This is a problem in the church world. If we know the word, our response is based on the word. That's why the word of God said, hide the word of God in your heart. Then what will happen? It'll be a light unto your path. When you come to the crossroads, it will help you decide which way you need to go. When you come to that place where you got to decide right or wrong, it'll help you make that decision. If you've got the word in your heart and in your life, you base what you think on what you know. Glory. I never forget one time I had a professor got after me because I would memorize everything. Wasn't bad, except when he realigned the test questions. I'd get messed up because I had to memorize. He said, you know, the problem is you got it in your head, but you don't know it. He said, because if you know it, it won't matter when I asked. Come on, church. Some of y'all may not understand that. It's kind of like on a TV show that night when the guy stole the test and wrote the questions down in order, and the guy started mixing them up. He said, you can't do that. I learned history in order. Glory. Amen. But the point he was making was, if you know it, you know it. Church, if we make the word of God so much a part of our life that we know it, then when the trouble comes and the questions are asked, we don't have to think about an answer. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was asked by the king, who is the God? They didn't have to discuss it. They didn't have to take a vote. The Bible said all three answered, or one of them answered for all three. I don't know which, but it said this, our God whom we serve is going to take care of us. And church, we need to get some answers in our heart before the questions are ever asked. Glory. James said it this way, James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways. When you make a habit of worry, you manifest your lack of faith and your trust in God. Glory. Why? Because God's already said, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon me, for I careth for you. See, first of all, to worry is foolish. Jesus teaches us to look at the birds of the air. Matthew 6:26, behold the fowl of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into a barn. But your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? You know, he didn't go tell that big bald eagle up there that could just about take out everything in the sky. He's going to make it. He went and found a sparrow, one of the smallest birds in the field, and he said, look at them. They don't sow, they don't reap. Let's face it, they can't whip everything down there to eat, but I feed them. I take care of them. I provide for them. And if I take care of a sparrow, how much more will I take care of those who are my children, who I love, who I care for, who I've asked to cast their cares upon me? Come on, church. Hallelujah. You ever seen the little hummingbirds? Them some weird looking dudes, ain't they? About that long. They'll run up and get on one of them little sugar things she put out in the backyard, and they'll suck sugar off of that thing. You know, it's amazing what they've done before humans figured out how to put sugar water out for them. Lord. But do you know those things will actually fly south for the winter? And somehow, even though they go south, if you've got hummingbirds in your backyard, the same hummingbirds will come back to your backyard the next year. Isn't it amazing? They don't have GPS. They ain't got OnStar. But they can take off down there somewhere in South America and turn around and come right back to where they left, because they got a God in heaven who gave them a home and device to put them where they needed to be. And if our God can do that, how much more, if he does it for them, is he going to do for us? If it bothers him when a sparrow falls, how much more does it bother him when one of us is in need? Could you say amen? Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why those anxious human beings rush around and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Hello? We worry over possessions, over provisions, over the very promises of God. You know, worry can indicate that God is not enthroned completely on our hearts. When anxious, fretful worry pervades our lives, it tends to place a question mark on a profession of faith. That's why, friend, it is foolish to worry. Number two, it's futile to worry. Somebody said, what are you talking about? Matthew 6:27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your stature? The Greek word for stature can also mean duration of life. Now, how many of us sitting here can start thinking and make our life longer? Make us taller? Amen. I mean, I've been trying to get taller all my life. And I'm actually shorter now than I was in high school. Gravity's working on me. Lord. Had a guy told me the other day, he said, "Preacher, you know, you're a pretty good sized fella." I said, "Yeah, I was born short. I suppose been 6'5". Glory. Smile. Some of y'all have the same problem. Glory. Y'all just can't explain it like I can. But now notice something, church. All the worry you do is not going to help you out in any aspect of your life. You can't add one inch to your life by thinking about it. You can't add one day to your life by thinking about it. I mean, we sit around, we worry. You know, man has always wanted to find the fountain of youth. That's the whole reason Ponce de Leon came to America, to find a fountain of youth so it could drink some of that water and live forever. And man's always wanted to figure out how to do that. And that's another thing man's still trying to do. And we may have added a few years to man's life cycle, but still, we don't know how long we're going to live. Psalms 90 and 12. "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts with wisdom." Amen. What's he saying? He's saying, we got to understand something. Our days are numbered, and there's nothing we're going to do to change the number. Psalms 103, verse 15. "For as a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourish. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children." One reason we're so consumed with worry is impatience. Let's face it, church. I'm about as impatient about some things as anybody. Some of y'all been around me. If I see something needs to be done, I want to get it done. I ain't no sense in waiting no 5 or 6 months. Take a chance I forget about it. Let's just get after it. I mean, I proved that. I was going to clean the fellowship hall. Me and Comet had a wonderful time till I started falling all over the place and hitting the wall and running into the wall with a buffer, and then I decided I'd pay somebody to clean the fellowship hall. Some of y'all might not have been privy to that day, but it took me 2 hours to clean up the mess I made trying to clean the thing. The other guy got up, and in 2 hours he had stripped the floor, re-waxed it, and was standing at the door letting the wind blow across the top. It'll be dry in about another 20 hours. Hello? Why? Because I'm impatient. You know what's wrong with a lot of us? We're impatient with God. When we get a bad report, next thing you know, "Well, I can't wait. God, you got to do something now." You ever notice something? God doesn't operate on our time clock. It is amazing, but he just doesn't function that way. Listen to what Isaiah said, Isaiah 40, 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint." That word "wait" comes from a Chaldean word, quavah. It means to twist or bind yourself together to make a strong rope. You know what he's saying? Blessed are they who don't just sit around waiting, but they bind themselves in God by reading his word and by praying, by fasting, by seeking God. And they learn how, as I do that, I'm not going to overcome in me, but I'm overcoming in him who have loved me. I'm not going to make it because of who I am or because I've got faith. I'm going to make it because my faith is in one who will not let me down. And it may not happen on my timetable, but if God said it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And my worry is not going to stop it or change it. Could you say amen? Some of us are like grandfather clocks. You ever watch those things? They're amazing. They make 2 clicks every second. Work for centuries. They just sat in the corner. That little thing swinging that pendulum. It dinging on the hour. Lasts for centuries. What would happen if that stupid clock started thinking about how boring it was to stand around all day? Tick tock, tick tock. But that's all I do. I just tick tock. I'm bored to death. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all got a job. You can't worry about your job because you're so busy trying to figure out how boring your job is. If you just go to work and enjoy it, you might not find it to be so boring. It's all an attitude. Smile at me. We got kids going, "Oh, I don't want to go to school today." If you change your attitude, you'll be, "Hey, man, I want to go to school." Hey, man, ain't nobody had more fun in school than I did. Glory. I loved it. I got up going, I'm going to school. There's two reasons. One, I enjoyed school. The other one was I wasn't about to tell my mama I couldn't go to school. She had this big spoon of stuff you had to take when you didn't go to school. I don't care what was wrong with you. And one spoon of that, you would have gone anywhere, anytime. I mean, I could have a broke leg. I'd be dragging it out the house. I'm going to school. I'm all right. There ain't nothing wrong with me. Glory. It's all about attitude. Just suppose that clock started thinking about it. You know, then all of a sudden he says, hey, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep up with how many TikToks. Yeah, I'm doing 120 strokes a minute, 7,200 of them an hour. Man, I'm doing good. I got 1,209,600 a week, 62,899,200 per year, 628,992,000 in a decade. And by the time I get to calculating, I'm on Bob Springs and blow the front out. Next thing you know, I'm on Zantac. I'm down on some psychiatrist trap trying to find out when great-grandfather clock told me I wasn't right. Glory. I know I shouldn't have went there, but I've done it. Glory. We'll pay people all kind of money to tell us about stuff happened when we was kids, and they weren't there. How do they know how my mom and dad treated me and beat me? Only boy, I told them, and I don't remember all of it. I forgot some of it on purpose. Glory. This is happening to people every day because we're filled with fretfulness instead of faithfulness. Listen, John chapter 11, the Bible said Lazarus, a friend of Jesus, gets sick. His sister Mary sends for Jesus. We need you. These are people he's been to the house. They fed him. His friends. It's 2 days to where Jesus is to get the message. The Bible said he got the message and he tarried yet 2 more days. And his friends start telling him, you know, we need to go. Because let's face it, Lazarus is their friends. Mary and Martha cooked for them. They wanted to go back over there. They just can't wait. They figure, hey, he's sick. They bound to be people bringing food. You know, church folks, we'll have chicken and dumplings. And hello? And they're bugging him. We need to go. Lazarus is sick. And finally, Jesus tells him something he knew when the man gave him the message. Do you realize, if you really calculated it, if the man gave him the message, Lazarus was already dead. Took him 2 days to get there. When he got there, 4 days later, after waiting, he waited 2 days. It took 2 days to get there. 4 days later, he'd been in the grave 4 days, so he was dead when he got the message. He keeps waiting around, finding one of the disciples says, we need to go. Listen to the 14th verse. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Next verse, and I am glad. Huh? Oh, I know I stopped reading, but I think that's emphatic. Lazarus dead, I'm glad for your sake, because you believe I can do things, but you don't believe I can handle this. And because you don't believe I can handle this, you're going to get to see something, because I'm going to show you something you never thought could possibly happen. Amen. You say, preacher, that's not what he said. He said, I'm glad for your sake that it was not there. In the intent that you may believe, nevertheless, let us go. What's he saying? He said, I'm fixing to show you something you can't believe. Glory. Now notice this. He shows up. 22nd verse. And I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection of life. He that believeth on me, though he is dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Martha comes running up and said, oh, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You could have healed anything he had. But he's dead now. He goes to meet the other 32nd verse. Then Mary, a woman who was actually closer to Jesus than her sister because of her worship, comes running up. And listen what she said. She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Now, church, you ever been around and have people come up and tell you something, two or three people tell you the exact same thing? You ever notice somebody inspired them to do that? Because no three people tell you the exact same thing unless they were told that's what they ought to say. I figured that out years ago. Smile at me. Some of y'all go, oh. Mary and Martha done been talking before Jesus got there. Oh, I wish he'd been here. If he'd only been here, he wouldn't have had to die. But now that he's dead, I know what we're going to do. Isn't that just the way we feel in the church? God, you could do anything till it becomes final. And then you can't do anything. That's exactly what he was trying to deal with then. And that's why this story is in the Bible, so he can deal with it now. You say, what are you talking about? We're worried about stuff that God might not can do and might not can do. Notice what he told them. I'm going to show you something you couldn't even believe could happen. Listen to Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know what he said? He said, if you'll quit worrying, put your faith in me, and get back to believing that I am the God that I said I am, and I can do what I said I could do. I can still heal the sick. I can still raise the dead. I can still do miracles. He's not a God of 2,000 years ago. He's God right now. Shut the mouth. Hallelujah. Somebody said, preacher, you're crazy. I told y'all, church, I'm certifiable. I don't have a problem with that. Jesus knew Lazarus was going to be dead before he got there. Listen, Psalms 130:5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word I do hope. For my soul waiteth on the Lord more than they which watch for the morning. For I say more than they that watch for the morning. What does this mean? Y'all remember the song in Annie about tomorrow? The sun's going to shine tomorrow. God's going to do something tomorrow is what we think. Well, this is what the psalmist is dealing with. He said, I've got more faith in God than those people waiting on the sun. Because let me tell you something, church, there's something you need to understand. Tomorrow ain't ever going to get here, but the sun is going to come up in the morning. And if I wait through the night, there's going to be a sun in the morning. It always comes up. Long as this earth's turning, sun's going to come up. Hello? And I know that there's going to be a sunshine somewhere in the middle of the night. I know that sooner or later, morning's coming. Hallelujah. What some of you need to do is what Job did and figure out. He can give you a song even in the midnight hour. It's not just the coming of the morning. Come on, church. Say, what are you talking about? The psalmist said, hey, I'm waiting on God because it doesn't matter how dark it is right now. It doesn't matter how bad things are right now. There's a morning coming, and joy cometh in the morning. My God's coming even more sure than the sun's coming up. My God is going to take care of this even more sure than there's a day coming tomorrow. I believe with everything in me, my God is going to show up. Could you say? Amen. Glory. I got to hurry. It's not only unfaithful, but it's also frustrating to worry. Matthew 6:28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not assembled and arrayed as one of these. Y'all remember Solomon, don't you? Dude that had the banquet hall, four tables in it, would seat 1,000 men, and each one of them a solid gold table. Whew. Had a guy read that one time. He said, boy, I'd give anything for a leg off one of them tables. Glory. I just want his curtains. Those windows were 40 foot long, and they had curtains made out of gold and silver wove together. Just one curtain. At today's prices, I could have a good retirement. Glory. Sat on a throne made out of ivory overlaid with gold. Had furniture made out of the cedars of Lebanon with gold embossing on it. This dude wore fine raiment everywhere he went. He was dressed to kill, as we would say. Amen. And what did God say? He said, the lilies of the field are greater than anything Solomon could have ever owned or had. You know why? Everything Solomon had was on the outside. But the lilies, all their beauty came from within through the power, the anointing of God that God gave them. Come on, church. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, what are you getting at? But notice this. Worry is a faithless thing. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast down into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? For therefore take no thought, saying, what ye will eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal ye shall be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The real test of our maturity is not our actions, but how we react. Hello? Some of y'all missed that. You need to write that down. You say, what are you talking about? I love God, but why do I love God? I love him because he loved me. I'm holy, but why am I going to be holy? Because he is holy. And I'm reacting to him, so I become holy. Come on, church. My reaction is what makes me who I am. We are not judged by the fact that we have action, but how we react. Amen. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian in a personal situation is the fact that we should react with a different reaction. When the doctor says, hey, you've got no more hope, we need to react by saying, all right, praise God, I'm going to heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Some of y'all said, I told you it's crazy. I told you that, church. Listen, you're looking at a guy for 35 years, had no known income. I couldn't tell you from 1 week to the next what I was going to make, but I put both my kids through college. I paid the bills. I never missed a meal unless I wanted to. You know why? Because I got a God who, when I heard him tell me he'd take care of me, my reaction was, I'm going for it. I didn't hang on to the rope. I didn't tie a knot. I let go and let God take care of my life. And I'm telling you today, God's looking for some people who's got the right kind of reaction and says, I believe my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all we'd ever ask or think. Now, granted, sometimes my reactions, if you look back on them now, I go, I can't believe I did that. I'm coming home one night from Missouri. Or if you've ever rode from Missouri to home. Any of y'all that's ever drove from St. Louis to Memphis, down by Cape Girardeau, on Highway 50, that's some of the loneliest driving. There's nothing out there. You know, you ride down the road. I'm headed home. It's pouring down rain. All of a sudden, there was a pain shot down my arm, just kind of twisted them fingers up. And I'm I've been up on the steering wheel and I'm slowing down so I don't wreck. And all of a sudden, I sat back up in the seat and I said, whoa, I wonder what caused that. And all of a sudden in my mind, I went, you're having a heart attack. I went, I ain't having no heart attack. I'm 30-something years old. I ain't old enough to have no heart attack. I'm not having a heart attack. I'm starting to argue with myself. Because my arm and my mind's telling me I'm having a heart attack, and my mouth and the rest of me going, I ain't having no heart attack. And about that time, the other hand joined that one. I to this day ain't figured out what it was, but man, I got off on the side of the road, stopped, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'm having a heart attack. No, I'm not. All of a sudden, it started going through my mind. What'd your grandmama on your mama's side die from? Heart attack. What'd your daddy die from? Heart trouble. What did his daddy and his daddy and his daddy die from? Heart trouble. Your brother's a lot smaller than you. What's he had? Heart attack. I'm sitting on the side of this stinking highway and all of a sudden it lightens, lights up the ground beside me. You know what I'm sitting beside? A stinking cemetery. I'm looking out across that thing and all I can think is, there's a tombstone out there with my name on it. I mean, now I'm having a heart attack. You ain't taught me out of it. No cell phones back then. I'm in the middle of nowhere. No way to get in touch with anybody on the side of the highway. And all I can think is I'm going to die in misery. Literally. Then I get this brain dead idea. So I said, sometimes I look back going, what was I thinking? I thought, if I'm having a heart attack, if I get out and start running down the road, I'm just going to kill over. So I jumped out and took off running. I ran to this bridge. Now, if you ever been out west, it ain't like around here. If you see a bridge, it might be a lot farther away than you thought it was. I got to that stupid bridge and I'm going to be, I'm looking back through the rain at the car and the lights on, the door standing wide open, and all I can think is, I ain't had no heart attack. That stupid car's full of water. I'm soaking wet. I jogged back to the car, got in the car, drove home. I had a cold for 3 weeks with that little heart attack. Glory. Say, preacher, what are you getting at? It's faithless if we don't trust God. Just don't be stupid. Glory. Just thought I'd throw that in. Won't cost you nothing. Listen. But notice this. And I want to get to this. Applying the solution to worry. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I walk in bookstores and I see books on anxiety, stress, worry. These are Christian bookstores. And they're telling us how to deal with anxiety and stress and worry. And oh, I've looked through a lot of them and I don't seem to find the place in there where it says, just drop everything you're doing. Get a hold of the Word of God and get a hold of God. The first thing we got to do to grapple with the cause of worry before we can find the effective cure is to learn how to seek God. Henry Drummond made this statement one time in the pulpit of his church. He said, do not embrace Christianity unless you're willing to wholly seek the kingdom of heaven first. Luke 19:10 said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What are you saying? If I start seeking him, he's already looking for me. Hallelujah. And if I go to seek him for him, amen, he's going to be there with open arms telling me, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Oh, let your burdens be there. I'm going to take care of your burdens. I'm going to take care of all your problems. Listen, Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me out of all my fears. Glory. But now there's one principle we got to place, and I'm going to close with this sooner or later. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for its things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you let worry make you think everything's going to fall apart, then that's what you're going to accept. Hello? Well, preacher, you're freaking up. That's what the Bible said. But notice what he also said in Isaiah 26. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. The 3 days of the week that you don't need to worry about. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Why? Because my Bible said Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And if Christ be for me, who can come against me? Hallelujah. Praise God. You say, preacher, do you believe that? Yes. Because you see, we like to procrastinate till tomorrow. You ever heard this? Tomorrow, I'm going to start dieting. Tomorrow, I'm going to start paying my tithes. Tomorrow, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Tomorrow, I'm going to change my whole lifestyle. If you've ever gone to eat with me, you know that I'm bad about picking it, folks. And when they start to pick up the stuff at the table, I'll always look at the waiter or waitress and say, hey, y'all give free refills? And they inevitably say, yeah. I said, well, fill this up and I'll hand on the plate, bring it back. And they'll go, oh, well, we don't do that. I was at Old Charlie's one night and I did it. And the manager was standing there and he said, hey, I'll give you a free plate tomorrow. He walked off and he come back in a few minutes. He said, are you excited? I said, nope. He said, why? I said, because I know the same thing you know. He said, what? I said, tomorrow ain't coming. It ain't never going to get here. He said, that's right. When you show up, it'll be today and I'll tell you I'll give you one tomorrow. Glory. You say, preacher, what are you giving it? First of all, if we're going to make it, you've got to understand there's some things you got to live by. If we're going to be able to overcome the things in our life, we've got to first acknowledge the source of our worry, a divided mind. Second, apply the solution, the valuable priority, seeking the kingdom of God, the vital principle, live one day at a time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know what's going on right now. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Therefore, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And if something happens between now and then, I'm going to remember I got a God who is able to handle everything that comes against us. Stand with me all over the house. How to handle worry. To understand that worry is faithless, is futile, is foolish. It's very non-productive. But if I can trust in God with all my heart, lean not to my own understanding, I've got a God. David said, thou art mindful of me. Not the kingdom, not everybody else, just me. Do you realize God loves the church, but he loves you. And everyone in this building, he thinks so much that he even knows when a hair in your head comes out. He's mindful. He knows every little detail about your life, even things you don't know about, if you could just turn it over to him. There's no songs I don't know about tomorrow, but I know whose hands I hold. And I know whose holds my future. And if we can but learn that, we are overcomers in the power of Almighty God. Father, we thank you today for your love and your mercy. Father, minister to us right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.